Well, thank you. We would have rejected that tape at the Rocky Mountain Delay Center because of the lip sync problem. I'm sorry. No, as always, the problem in receiving an award like this is that everybody is too generous. One feels the need to recognize the many people that have contributed to it, who have earned it certainly far more than I have. I wish there were time, but I suspect that those of you who are younger want to eat, and those of you who are my age want to go to the bathroom, you know. So it's been a marvelous run. I would correct Ed on one series of dates, however, and that is the Rocky Mountain Center actually began in the bowels of KOA in November of 1969 and went out of there. And the reason I want you to remember that is that in the spring of 1970, I learned that a gentleman had been hired to form an organization, at least the technical part of an organization called PBS. And sometime he was going to come to Denver. And so at that point in time, well, you have to remember that we weren't very elaborate at KOA and our Delay Center. I think we occupied one section of the KOA projection room. The whole thing must have been about 50 feet, square feet, that is. And you sat there at the desk during the nighttime, and I had a pair of cans that I'd put on because I had an Eastman 285 right next to me that kind of ran the commercials, and you couldn't hear Tom Keller's beautiful music out of GBH or whatever happened to be on. And thank God in those days they were sending us a lot of tapes, because most of the time the terrestrial circuits from Washington, D.C. simply didn't make it. Well, one evening I got the call. Dan had come to town, and his daughter was along with him, and he wanted to know. Now, he said he only had a limited amount of time, and did I think that 15 minutes would be adequate to see the Rocky Mountain Delay Center? You know, what do you say? I told him I thought that would be enough time, yeah, if he came by. But the problem was that I was really the only one that was on staff at that stage of the game, and would he have, well, his daughter would be along with him. So we left the daughter sitting in my chair with the cans on, and I took Dan off to see the rest of KOA. And among them, an interesting thing is that we had a cesium standard from the National Bureau of Standards. They had this crazy idea that if they could send data down the vertical interval, then the networks would let them use the lines and they could get their time and frequency across the country at no cost. Well, this is a real screwy idea, but, you know, they liked it and we liked the cesium standard, so who cared? But Wells took on to that, really, and the idea never really worked, but the idea of data in the vertical interval was kind of a good idea, and it was went on to be developed, and you guys know the rest of the story as well as I do. So it was an interesting evening, all in all, and Dan never forgot that visit to our center. You know, as we went into negotiations, well, he used to remind us that we actually only fed 3% of the population, and that we only had a few employees, and that we really weren't worth very much. And then as the responsibilities grew and we started feeding a couple of time zones and did some satellite work at the Rocky Mountain Center and so forth, well, the budget grew a little bit. But Dan always remembered that we had started out very small, and he kept the budget equally so. But we had a wonderful time. And of all the experiences I've had in broadcasting, that's probably the most memorable. And it's the most memorable of these. I think maybe it's useful remembering at a time when we're starting to think of many channels out of our our own little stations that really have not been equipped for that. We used to have visitors at the expanded Rocky Mountain Center, which had grown to about 4,000 feet, and as I said, was feeding multiple time zones and so forth. And people would look at our equipment, which had grown to 3 AVR-1s and a couple of AVR-2s and the original 3 1200s, and even, God forbid, a couple of the Viper 1s. We were trying out the 1-inch format along with the rest of you. And we would show them around, and they would say, oh, and that's how you do all of this. And then they would go about their way, and we would kind of wink at each other because we knew that it really wasn't the equipment that was doing the job. It was the Kellys and the Rogers and the Johns and the Marcies and the Danas and the rest of the people. And I think maybe that's a good thing to remember. Good luck to you all. And thank you.